Well, listeners, it's the beginning of the year. Like many of us, I have tried to diet. Oh my gosh, I have failed miserably. I'm going to try again starting tomorrow morning. Now, it seems that at this point in the year when all of us have been trying to lose some weight, we start to think of maybe other things we should be doing. Maybe I need to exercise a little bit more. Maybe I need to get out and walk. And for some people who are morbidly obese, they might even be thinking about other options such as weight loss surgery. So it seemed a good time to invite Dr. Howard Simon, professor of surgery, director of minimally invasive and bariatric surgery at Upstate, to come in and talk to us about weight loss surgeries. Good morning, Dr. Simon.
Good morning.
Let's just for a moment talk about what some of these surgeries are, because I think, you know, we call them different names, but they're really different surgeries, aren't they?
That's right.
Let's talk about them.
Well, the most commonly performed operation in the United States is still the gastric bypass.
And that means?
Gastric bypass involves creating a very small stomach pouch. So you reduce the potential volume of the stomach from almost 1,000 cc's down to about 30 cc's.
So basically you just can't eat as much.
You can't eat as much at one time, that's true.
And then presumably would not take in as many calories. There's a lot more to it, but that's the mechanics of it, right?
That's right.
Okay. What's the second kind?
Well, the second part of that operation is you bypass some of the small bowel, so you absorb your calories differently.
I see.
And that's a gastric bypass. It's both restrictive, which is the small pouch, and malabsorptive, which means we bypass some bowel. The secondly most common form of operation in the United States is a gastric band. Again, just like the bypass, almost always done laparoscopically.
Is that the one we've heard called lap band?
That's right.
Okay,
that's
lap
right.
Meaning laparoscopic, I guess.
That's correct.
Okay.
Those are almost always done laparoscopically. That simply involves putting a silicone band around the stomach, just below the esophagus. And this band can be adjusted because there's a port that is connected to it, and it's implanted underneath the skin, and this port can be accessed. And over time, you can fill it with fluid and adjust it so the patient feels full with a small amount of food.
Aha. Uh-huh. All right. So again, they're taking in less food. And does that also have to do you do anything with the bowel then too?
That operation is just on the stomach.
It is. All right. And now there's a third form of surgery?
There is a third operation that's actually been done probably for 4 or 5 years now. It's a restrictive operation. There's no bowel surgery with it. It's just on the stomach. And what you do is you take off the outer part of the stomach.
Aha.
We use staple guns to divide that stomach. We remove it. So the patient is left with a tubular stomach, which allows them, again, to feel full with much less food. And the added advantage is the stomach that's taken off has a very high concentration of cells with a hormone that make you feel hungry.
Aha.
So by removing this part of the stomach, there may be less hunger because of these ghrelin cells that cause hunger.
These all sound like, not simple, I don't want to say simple, they don't sound at all, but they sound quick. So for a lifetime, I've battled with my weight. Now I can go in the hospital, and in a matter of 1 or 2 nights, I can have surgery that will allow me to lose weight, and that's the end of that.
Well, not really. First of all, we only do these operations on people who are morbidly obese, which means their body mass index, their BMI, which is weight corrected for height, is either over 40 or over 35 with diabetes or high blood pressure or sleep apnea.
And there are a lot of those comorbidities, right? Those second and third and fourth kinds of diseases that go with being overweight.
Right. The more overweight you are, the greater your chances are of having those diseases.
So the BMI over 35 or 40, compare that to what is normal.
A normal body mass index is less than 25. You don't want it to be less than 18 either, because you can be
too
skinny.
That's
not most people's problem,
yeah.
But that can happen. When the BMI goes between 25 and 30, we call that overweight.
Mm-hmm.
At least two-thirds of Americans now are at least overweight. Mm-hmm. Between 30 and 35 is obese. And somewhere between 35 and 40 is that sort of transition zone, where if you start to be getting diabetes or sleep apnea, those diseases, you are morbidly obese. And clearly over 40, even without the comorbidities, you are morbidly obese.
Let's compare that to something that people might be familiar with. We watch The Biggest Loser on TV, and those folks are losing 150 and 200 and 250 pounds. What would their BMI be?
I mean, I can't specifically say about one patient, but patients that are losing 150, 200 pounds, their BMIs are in the 50s or 60s,
they
most
are.
Likely.
They're very, very high, aren't they? Is this something that, one thing we know, and we've talked to you about it before, is that this is a process. This is as much about a lifestyle change. This is as much about learning to eat better, exercise, fix your head and the way you think about food and so forth. It's not just that overnight stay in the hospital. What kinds of success rates do you see?
Well, if you look historically at gastric bypass operations, the quota success rate is about 85%.
Really?
Long term. I think that that is less, I don't think that's true in the patients who don't exercise.
You don't?
I think exercise is a linchpin. Mm-hmm. I think that patients who exercise very rarely don't lose the weight and keep it off. I think that patients who don't exercise have a much higher failure rate than people who exercise.
Do you ever find that people come to you and they start in this process and they start the learning curve and get prepared for the surgery? Do they give up before they ever get there?
A very small number of people.
They do.
Most of the people we see, if they're psychologically appropriate, mm-hmm. Go through with the process.
They do. And then can it be reversed afterwards?
Well, certainly a gastric band can be removed.
It can.
The interesting thing is that if you remove it, no matter how far out you are, the patients will gain the weight back.
They will.
They will.
Yeah, because once again, it's more about what they're putting into their bodies. If you make more space for it, I expect that they would more easily gain the weight.
It's a disease. Yeah. And if you remove that treatment, they will regain their weight.
We've talked before, and there's, oh my gosh, there's so much here to cover, and we've only got about another minute. Let's talk just briefly about the fact that there are many, many places you can go in Central New York to have this kind of surgery done. And Upstate has a program. What distinguishes your program from somebody else's?
Well, Upstate's actually been doing bariatric surgery since the 70s.
Oh.
Now, the program, as it's constituted now, has really been going on for about 8 years. We've done, in the last 8 years, about 1,500 cases, the vast majority of them laparoscopic. And we're accredited by the American College of Surgeons, who has reviewed not only our results, but the entire hospital's approach to obese patients and the treatment in every part of the hospital of those patients.
And laparoscopic, now let's touch on that very quickly because we only have a few seconds, but that's important. My gosh, laparoscopic just means little tiny incisions, right?
Right. It's still the same operation, but mm-hmm. you don't get the wound complications because you have five small tiny holes and the wound healing and recovery and get back to work time is much, much less.
So if somebody was fearing the surgery, they shouldn't be fearing it because they're afraid of that kind of incision.
Not from the incision, that's
very
right.
Very interesting. Where can people get more information?
They can call the Health Connections.
Okay.
And we have a number at the Bariatric Center that we will get people into the system to begin the quest.
Health Connections is now called Upstate Connect, and it's 464-8668. And we'll also link from our HealthLink On Air website. And Dr. Howard Simon, you know what? There is so much more to talk about. I realize we've just scraped the surface. Would you be able to come back soon?
Sure.
Very good.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. The benefits of high school French, or laughing in the wrinkling face of life's bad jokes. Well, dear listeners, aren't faux pas wonderful? Last Saturday, I was at a reunion party of fellow parentos that Pam and I hung out with as our kids threw and caught and hit and kicked various ball-like objects until suddenly the final whistle blew. And the kids were going, gone, and left us trying to believe 50 or 60 is the new 30 or 40. Yikes, Wrinkle City. Anyway, I'm lounging in the kitchen in arm's reach of the low-fat chips and salsa with a collection of us 30, 40s, all making loud, friendly noises, and I'm chomping and chatting with Buddy John when Mike walks up with the woman Mary he's been with for several years. We say, hey, how you doing? What you up to? Over those loud, friendly noises, Mike fairly shouts, oh, not much, just working and doing our widen. I say, oh, doing your wedding? Congratulations, when's the big day? Pause, silence, startled looks, pause. Who said anything about getting married? Riding our horses. Uh-oh. Faux pas, or as we Americans educated with 3 or 4 years of French say, le big boo. We all laughed, luckily. But that ain't nothing compared to one from 23 years ago. My wife was one of five psychologists, including Pam, Martha, Jane, Janet, and Roxanne, who were going to have babies all within months of each other. Closing in on the big day for Pam and me, I hadn't seen any one of the pregnant quartet for a while, and I met Roxanne, name changed to protect the innocent i.e. me, anyway, chatting with Roxanne and her protruding belly, and I ask her when her baby is due. And pause. Dare I say pregnant pause? Uh-oh. I had my baby 2 weeks ago, Rich. Uh-oh. Le big boo-boo, or le big belly in this case. Oh, my. That was one stress-filled moment that I thought about for years. Anyway, I was going to link these faux pas stories to the idea that it's never too late to benefit from correcting our health faux pas. Studies show even us new 30-40s can undo our health missteps by quitting smoking, eating better, moving more, stressing less, cut our risk of dying or developing some nasty disease by 30 or 40%. But I'd much rather talk about how laughing at ourselves instead of stressing is great medicine. So next time a big boo-boo leaps into our lives, let's take a good look in the mirror. And if that doesn't give us a good laugh, my fellow 30-40-somethings, I don't know what will. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.